Daniel Lewis Tyson is available is broadcast live every Monday night at 10 o'clock on Resonance 104.4 FM on digital radio. And you can also listen online via resonancefm.com.
Resonance 104.4 FM, the art of listening.
Hey, how are you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday the 2nd of March 2015 with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, coming to you live at 10 o'clock on Resonance 104.4 FM. It is a cold night in the city. How are you, South London? I hope you're all well, making the most of the longer days now and check in yourself for lumps, perhaps, especially those of you short of bathroom windows. Lump checks are already seriously threatened by today's dimmer, environmentally friendlier light bulbs, and it is more important than ever that we all keep on top of our checks. If you do live in a dimly lit flat, I would advise you to make the most of the daylight hours in order to carry out a rigorous self-examination. If you're doing shift work, maybe you can come to some agreement with your colleague less dependent on natural daylight because they have a window in their bathroom. Explain to them you'd like to get home by 5:30 to make the most of the light that your home's lighting will not give you. Six attempts on the gate tonight. That's 60 from 9 shows this year. On this week's show, my latest Nectar Points update. A Stockwell stalwart is under threat. Time permitting, we're in SW8's finest cafe. And at last but not least, the kid and his angular frame are back in the studio as we essentially devote a half hour to a body he never tires talking of. All that and more on this week's Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available, going out to all 11 South London boroughs we do not recognise Merton on this show. No beer dump this week, no alcoholic beverages dumped outside the lockable suggestion box for the first time in 8 weeks, which will come as some relief to the Stockwell vets. Engineer number one, Chris Dixon, pushing the buttons this week. A decent week for me, still bruised from last week's tough love extravaganza. Pleased to report my uncle got his new front tooth. He debuted it on Thursday evening. He didn't mention it. He's not a showy guy. He just sat there quietly watching a Cuban soap on one of their cable channels. I always try to make sure I've left my aunts before Hollyoaks comes on. My uncle hasn't missed an episode since 1998. And I know what it's like when you have a show that you really love. Ideally, you want to watch it on your own. You don't want that pressure of feeling you have to make small talk with any visitors while the show is on. It was my aunt. She drew my attention to my uncle's new tooth as she served him a coffee. She did that thing she does when my uncle has a coffee of breaking up a large biscuit in his mug. It's an impressive tooth. My uncle smiled an awkward smile. He doesn't like to be the centre of attention. It will take him a while to get comfortable with the tooth. I think my aunt's a little insecure about it. I think she's feeling like my uncle might start turning a few heads now in the area with his new look. Unlike my uncle tonight in the studio, a man who does love to be the centre of attention. You can hear him. It is the kid. The kid is here, everybody. A man who only found out tonight, just half an hour ago, that Madonna's actual real name is Madonna. Good to see you. A surprise at the strength of your handshake too, as we arrived at the gate. I wasn't expecting that. You've been working on that, haven't you?
I can confirm it was also firm here as well.
Oh, you've got a firm handshake absolutely, as well. Yeah. That's not his real handshake, Chris.
No, he's just wearing a hand mask or something.
That's changed. You did not have that handshake when you came here at Christmas. What have you been doing?
There's been progress. I'm just developing as a human being. Strengthening my weaknesses till they no longer are weaknesses.
You left your hand till last.
Yeah.
It's an impressive handshake. It was worth waiting for. I've been waiting 2.5 years for that.
I thought I'd develop other body parts before moving on to my hand.
Which we are going to find out about tonight. How are you anyway?
Not too bad, thank you. Yourself?
I'm okay. Your hair is looking good. Tell listeners about your hair at the moment. What kind of look you got?
Just gone for the, it's not a statement haircut or hairstyle, to say the least. You know,
just imagine I'm your barber. You're coming for a haircut. What do you want from me?
Well, my barber. Okay, so if I'm walking in, I just tell him, give me the 0.5 on the back and sides, blend it in, just the tips on the top, and don't use the thinning scissors.
No, never use the thinning scissors.
What's the issue with the thinning scissors,
guys? The thinning scissors, basically, it makes you look like you've got less hair than you've actually got. There's no volume in your hair if you use the thinning scissors. They're the zigzaggy scissors.
Yeah, yeah, but they prevent the bouffant. You don't want a bouffant.
But if you can control the bouffant, it can look quite good. Do you know what I mean?
There's a man with confidence who can wear a bouffant. That
my hair is verging on a bouffant, is it not?
It has done in the past, that's for sure. Yeah, it can get very bouffanty.
But if I could have controlled that, it would not have looked as bouffanty. But if I did use the thinning scissors, it would have looked quite flat.
Well, earlier today, I asked on Twitter for listeners to tweet their questions for the kid. Are you ready for some questions?
Born ready.
Jake 365 from Croydon emailed in, what does the kid make, and this is sticking with the latest hairstyles, what does the kid make of the Olivier Giroud razored parting coming in? Jake goes on to say, it is not a race-specific parting. Have seen it on a variety of footballers of all ethnic backgrounds, but Giroud, a little late to the party with it. It seems to have brought it to the masses like it did with last year's wildly popular World War One short back and sides with a high fade. Are you aware of what he's talking about, the Giroud parting?
Yeah, the Giroud parting. What he means is when he's got the side parting, at the parting he gets the barber to basically slit a line across where it's parted. It looks good on Giroud because he's a good looking guy. He's got the money to maintain a haircut like that.
Okay, Chris is just showing us this is what we're talking about. It's been shaved in that part.
Yeah, that part has been shaved in. So they've got rid of the hair there. The problem with that haircut is if you don't like the parting, it takes several haircuts to grow it back because obviously you're getting rid of the hair there. So it might take two or three haircuts for you to actually fade it back in. It's quite teenage. You'll see it in East London a lot. It's a good haircut. It's a good hairstyle.
It's very in now. It's the current hairstyle.
What's the maximum
age for the razored parting, would you say?
I think if you're doing your GCSEs, that's the cut-off point. Giroud gets away with it.
He's 26, 27, isn't he? You're not going to see a footballer over 30 with that haircut, I don't think.
And Robbie Savage, I think, might have it. But with Robbie Savage, we can't actually see the side of his head.
That's true.
So it's a nice haircut, don't get me wrong, but it's probably not the best haircut on a footballer.
Staying with the hairstyle, Spantax81 asks, do you ever worry that a hairstyle will come in that your hair isn't suited to and that you'd end up sticking with your current hairstyle, which would make you look dated?
I don't think the side parting will ever look dated, providing you don't get the little slit on the side. I think the boy band curtains are coming back in, but more
with the centre parting.
Not with the centre part, with the side parting. So having it floppy down the sides.
Right.
I don't think I've got the face shape to rock such a hairstyle. I might try.
What kind of face shape do you need to pull off that kind of hairstyle?
Quite circular, I'd say. That when the longer side. So when the longer side is flopping down, it accentuates your face.
Okay.
Yeah.
Metamech asks, are you enjoying single life?
Loving it.
I don't think we need to expand on that, really, do we? What perfume are you wearing tonight? Asks Nice Day.
Well, I'm wearing my favourite Polo Blue.
Polo Blue, a classic choice.
Yeah, Polo Blue is lovely. There are some better than Polo Blue, but it's become my signature smell. Armani Cold Polo Blue, Bleu de Chanel, Moschino Uomo is an oldie but a goldie.
I've lost you at Polo Blue.
Dan, do you not have a signature scent?
I think I have an Armani code that the kid gave me last year.
Yeah. I also gave you another one. Do you remember? I gave you the Polo Sport Edition.
You just gave me one, I think, to be fair.
I gave you the Polo... Sport Edition, didn't I?
No, that must have gone to someone else. Polo yeah. blue. Why are you wearing polo blue today? What makes you get up and think this is a polo blue kind of day?
I like aquatic smells. Okay. Polo blue is an aquatic smell. And it's just, it's if I'm going somewhere special or, you know, I just want to smell good, I'll use the polo blue. If it's just every day, I'm just going out with some friends, I might put on the Armani code.
I agree with the aquatic. Actually, I've been an aquatic fan.
Yeah.
Now I use the Porsche design, which is
I've not smelt that.
Oh, it's good.
Porsche design.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like
it's got that.
Free,
because it's got that name.
Yeah.
People think it's a bit naff, a bit crass.
Armani code, is that aquatic?
I think that's wood.
Wood.
It's from the wood. Yeah, sandalwood kind of thing. But it's quite nice.
Bay of Wales.
Yeah.
Bay of Wales wants to know: have you ever shaved your chest?
Shaved.
Have you ever shaved your chest, trimmed your chest?
I think you'd know if I shaved my chest, Daniel.
Why would I know?
Because I tell you...
Okay. That is true. You did tell me about your birthmark. Right.
Legendary.
Okay. Right, well, what's going to happen tonight? We're going to be getting a complete breakdown of the kid's physique. Nothing compared to what I've been getting in recent weeks as the kid continues to pepper my email with topless shots. And by the way... Yeah. I did as you requested. I sent the last topless shot to Mickey
Boyd.
What did he say? Mickey says the kid has a great physique, but unless he's taken up boxing or a martial art, he should start looking at putting on some weight to give depth to his torso. Mickey advises eat plenty of chicken, spuds, pasta and rice. The kid could be phenomenally strong, but then again, as a man with a 48-inch chest who can bench 120 kilos and still enjoy a few pints of Guinness, I would say that, wouldn't I?
I'm looking to gain weight. And Daniel, you know I eat a lot. It's just I'm just waiting for my metabolism to slow down. And once that slows down, I'm going to put on some serious mass, hopefully. I'm taking the shakes. I bought a blender.
Okay.
I bought a blender for the shakes. So it's quicker, easier. It provides a better taste in the shakes. I'm not regular with the shakes. I need to start taking them every day. So far, it's every other day. Every 3 days or after a workout, I'm taking it. If I can take it every day, get that extra 25 grams of protein.
So basically, the pictures you're going to be sending me in future are going to be even bigger.
Larger
kid.
I don't think I'd be wider. I don't want to get any wider. I think I'd be more girthy.
Girthy.
Is that a word, girthy?
You don't want size, you want density, don't you?
Yeah, I don't want people to go, oh, he's wide. I want people to go, oh, I can't get my hands around him, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, look, we're going to have a tour of your physique tonight, which is going to happen in the form of a draw. Chris is going to pick out bits of paper from this see-through pouch that
right,
I brought
okay.
along tonight.
Right, I'm going to dig in.
Upon which I've written various body parts. Chris will give the pouch a shake, pick out a bit of paper,
right,
read
here,
out what
here
is.
Here goes. Okay, so
there.
What we've got.
Got pecs, biceps, abdominals, quads, deltoids, trapezius, triceps, calves and buttocks.
Okay, and first we have trapezius.
Okay, so this is, what is it? This is the back of the shoulder, is it?
Yeah, so basically it's this part of the body.
Right.
So,
look at him
this
smiling.
Part of the body, right. Okay, so he's reaching and he's tapping just behind and above his shoulder blade.
Yeah, so where the shoulder blade is, it's the bit that meets in the middle, goes up to your neck and across.
Right, and tell uh-huh. us tell us about your trapezius.
My traps are actually quite weak. I don't do enough shrugs. The only work on my traps that I get is from deadlifting.
Right.
And even then, that's mainly for the lower back. The traps, obviously, when you're holding the weight upright, they play a part in stabilizing the weight. What I need to do is isolate the traps and start doing shrugs and variations of shrugs to develop them, to develop the traps.
Let's have the next body part, right. Mr. Dixon.
Probably my weakest part, actually, my traps.
Okay. Numbers to look out for: pecs are number 1, buttocks are 9, quads at 4.
Okay, so glutes are we talking about with buttocks?
Yeah.
Okay,
glutes,
right.
Yeah.
What have we got, Chris?
Triceps.
Arguably one of my strongest body parts. Arguably. Along with my...
Why?
I've always had strong triceps.
That's dips, isn't it?
Yeah,
dips that
I
hit
do,
your
I
triceps.
Actually do weighted dips. I don't.
Okay.
I start off with regular body weight dips as a warm up. I've got a dipping belt, and what I do is I progress up to about 20-25 kg, where I can only do about 3 clean dips. with 25 kg on the dipping belt. So it's my body weight plus 25 kg.
Nice.
And and that basically, if anyone wants big triceps, if you're not dipping, you aren't going to get big triceps. No. If you're just doing the exercises on the cable machine, you'll get them cut, you'll get them defined. But when you want that T-shirt bulging tricep, you need to be dipping. You need to
You're not a fan of those T-shirts, though, are you? You've told me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan because obviously, if you wanted to show, just walk around topless if you're that confident.
Okay, or send topless pictures as you.
Yeah,
have.
I'd walk around topless rather than wear tight T-shirts. Do you know what I mean? It's just, okay, so you've got big arms. What else have you got?
On that note, can we take a brief break from your body parts? I just want to deliver some community issues.
I'll just put that to
can
the
I
side.
Just say there's one saying that emphasizes the importance of triceps.
Which is?
Triceps for pro, biceps for show.
There you go.
Memorable.
Yeah.
A story close to my heart now in this week's South London Press concerning the blob the name the Vauxhall Society of Residents Association has come up with for the Nine Elms Vauxhall Partnership, NEVP, a collaboration. You're not going to leave, are you? Because we'll come back to your body parts. Just let me do this, yeah?
Yeah, no worries. I'm
okay. A residents association has come up with a name blob for the Nine Elms Vauxhall Partnership, NEVP, a collaboration between the public and private sectors overseeing the development in the area. Now branded, and stay with me on this, Nine Elms on the South Bank, a name as frothy as the coffee served up in the high street chain cafes cropping up in the area. And a development which the Vauxhall Society claim, as I have, is slowly swallowing up the area. I did see some Vauxhall Twitter account the other day describing itself as Central London, which is news to me, and I grew up just down the road. Right now, the area is starting to look like a middle-aged man trying to pull off skinny jeans. It's an unedifying sight. The Vauxhall Society have now hit out at a bunch of skyscrapers, mainly comprising luxury homes, which are being built in the area. The Society has been voicing its concerns for some time now, but according to the SLP, took a novel approach to its criticism in a newsletter last week. Dear resident of Vauxhall, it began, did you know you no longer live in Vauxhall? Whatever you may think, you now apparently live in Nine Elms on the South Bank. Like NESB, the blob is another made-up word, this one borrowed from the 1958 sci-fi film of that name. Back then, the Society goes on, the blob meant an alien life form that consumes everything in its path as it grows. Around here, it still does. The Vauxhall Society has been consistent in attacking Nine Elms developers for the low-level numbers of affordable homes proposed. Currently, 3,000 homes are planned across something like 20 development schemes, and these homes account for 15% of the total homes to be built. The affordable home target for Lambeth Borough is 40%. An NEVP spokesperson denies Vauxhall has been swallowed up by the blob. Vauxhall Nine Elms Battersea VNEB is the area's name in planning policy terms, as identified by Mayor of London Boris Johnson in the London Plan 2010. VNEB's rebrand as Nine Elms on the South Bank is its public-facing name, encapsulating the partnership's vision for the area as a new central London district and new destination. Without question, Vauxhall, Nine Elms and Battersea remain distinct areas in their own right. Each brings its unique character and heritage to the wider area, Nine Elms on the South Bank. You learn, you accept as you go through life that you will lose those you love. You adapt, you adjust, you do your best to move on. But to have to do so, losing the areas you love too, to have to continue piecing together your life, rebuilding elsewhere, away from the locations you cherished in your younger days, I think that makes things that much harder. I think London as a whole, it's losing its neighbourhoods. So many of us now sign up to six-month or year-long tenancies that have to be renewed and renegotiated at a higher rate. We're constantly on the lookout for a better deal. Homes are like phone deals these days. You're always looking for the best deal. These people with money coming in, stealing our communities, pushing us out because of their money. They cannot see this. They cannot grasp that these changes alienate so many of us now.
Daniel Ruiz Tizón está tan disponible.
The time now is 19 minutes past 10. You're listening to Daniel Ruiz Tizón. It is available with me, Daniel Ruiz Tizón, live on Resonance 104.4 FM. If you'd like to support the station, do visit resonancefm.com to make a secure donation. We don't have time for the Nectar Points update this week. Let's return to Stockwell now before we get back to the kid. The fruit and veg stall right outside Stockwell Station that's been there since the spring of 99, serving the community, is under threat. I was speaking to Brenda this morning, the lady that runs the stall, a lady familiar from my childhood. Brenda used to run a newsagent's next to the kebab shop on Stockwell Road opposite the Swan in the 80s. If you know Stockwell, you'll know whilst around it, the likes of Brixton, Clapham, South Lambeth and Vauxhall have fallen and been claimed by developers. Stockwell has remained largely untouched until now. Change is definitely coming. It's like Series 3 of Deadwood for me, the best TV show of the last 20 years. When government and law, as well as the interests of powerful commercial entities, begin to enter Deadwood as it prepares itself for entry into Dakota territory. The local post office, which has been at its current location for at least 25 years, is also, I'm hearing, closing down. Locals will be left with Brixton as their nearest post office. We've got flats now being built above the Stockwell NatWest that have been derelict for years. People have already moved in. Opposite those flats, new fancy flats being built above the Ladbrokes with a large banner proclaiming it's 10 minutes door-to-door from Stockwell to the Old Vic Theatre. Let me tell you, it is not. So sometime last year, Brenda says she was informed by TfL and the council they wouldn't be moved. Her store wouldn't be moved. Certainly TfL informed her of that. She wouldn't be moved around the station as it was redeveloped. The road layout at Stockwell Cross is, I think, being changed, but Brenda was told it wouldn't affect her. Somewhere along the line, as Brenda told me today, that loop was broken. She's now being offered a spot just around the corner on Binfield Road, whose reincarnation into Stockwell Square has to date, as predicted on the show last summer, not gone according to plan. Round the site of the station, they will be opening a new fancy cafe. And next to that, Brenda is being offered a new location for her stall. However, this much smaller space will be something of a blind spot, like my toilet table in the cafe, often missed by the waiters. It is a no man's land, what she's being offered. Foot flow will fall dramatically. Brenda won't be able to stock fruit and veg. She just won't have the space and will only be able to sell flowers. Opposite her new mooted location, meantime, Jack's, the supermarket that's been in Stockwell for 20 years, closed down yesterday. Set to become another Sainsbury's. There's also going to be a farmer's market once a month on Binfield Road. Of course, there will be, because that is the new South London. If you're in the area, if you know the stall and are familiar with Brenda and Jay, the young guy that helps her every day, get yourself along there, sign the petition. Brenda has served the community well for 3 decades at least. She can continue to serve it. She deserves much better than what TfL and the council have given her. In this rush to create new communities and so-called new districts, the powers that be are quashing existing communities. Please do what you can to quell the tide. We've got 7 minutes left tonight. Tonight's show is just gone by so quickly. We still have the kid with us tonight. A question. This is a question from Steve Walsh, lately of Mickeypedia. He tweeted, "I'd like to hear about Daniel's replacement at your old work. A downgrade, I'm sure, but has the kid bonded at all with your successor?" Well, here's the thing, Steve. The kid and I both left the same week. But what the kid might be able to answer tonight is whether he's bonded in a similar way with colleagues in his new job.
Not really, no. There's only one Daniel Ruiz Tython, and I haven't built up a rapport with anyone in my new workplace quite like what I had with Daniel. Not sure if they don't appreciate.
Boy, he's going to business.
It's just he's you're feeling very melancholy at the minute. I think we need to get you back to your body parts. Let's have another body part, Chris.
Oh, hang on, where's the bag? Let's rustle through quickly.
Okay,
quickly.
We've had a traps and triceps. What have we got next?
No, the abs, the abdominals.
Oh, God, the amount of times I heard about your abs. Go on, how are your abs?
Phenomenal.
Explain why.
It's, you know, you've got to focus on your abs. A lot of people complain, oh, they haven't got abs.
Or they do so many sit-ups, yeah. Why aren't they getting their abs?
Exactly. What you've got to do is diet is important in revealing the abs. You've got a.
What kind of diet do you follow?
I'm cutting down on the curries, actually. I'm having a lot more grilled, a lot more pasta. When working abs, sit-ups is one variation on how to work your abs, but you've got to engage your abs in every single exercise you do. I can't stress it. Like, when I'm squatting, I always try and keep my core and my abs tight. It gives you a solid base to perform squats properly, and it gives your abs a workout as well. Your body's not designed for you to do sit-up after sit-up after sit-up. So try variations of ab exercises, like rollouts. Get like a barbell on the floor and just try and roll yourself out to a flat position from a V position. You'll find you're engaging your abs a lot more.
I think we've covered your abs. Yeah. Shall we have another one, Chris?
Okay, cool.
I was very uncomfortable with the squatting visual there.
I should feel myself squatting. I'll get great depth.
Oh, what have we something got? After my own heart as a cyclist. The calves.
The calves.
Okay. You've is there a disparity in your calves? I know your thighs, you got one bigger than the other. There was something about the calves that you weren't happy with.
I'm not genetically blessed with the biggest of calves, but I am working on them. I do isolated calf raises. I try and go as heavy as I can to really... The stronger you are, the bigger you are, generally. So I try and get push the calves as well. Lunges are quite good for calves. It's something where, you know, genetics plays a big part. I've seen humongous guys in the gym training their legs off like no man's business, but they don't have big calves because genetically they have, you know, they just not been blessed with big calves. They've got wicked arms, they've got a wide back, but the disparity between their arms and then their calves, so to speak, it's not relative. And you just got to put it down to genetics. I mean, there's this one bloke in the gym, we call him Vin Diesel because he looks like Vin Diesel. And
what about his calves? Are they not
he
big?
I see him train legs all the time, but his calves just have not grown.
Sometimes you just take something as far as it can go. Chris, shall we have one more?
Oh, the pecs. The pectorals.
What can I say?
Talk to us, kid.
I bench a lot more than what people think I can bench. That's all I can say. I can push more than my body weight on the bench for a couple of clean reps, which is some surprising. Actually, I was talking to my friend the other day, and he's struggling with his benching. And when I told him what I bench, he's like, what? And then I'm like, wow, what's so surprising? He goes, he's got a bigger friend who's actually quite big, and he's struggling to bench only marginally more than what I'm benching for a good clean 6 to 8 reps.
He's a hero.
And you know what's good for the chest as well is TRX push-ups. Suspect, yeah.
What's a TRX push-up?
It's basically like rings suspended from the wall or a frame, and what it allows is for greater depth. So when you're benching, the bar can only go up to your chest. But with the TRX push-ups, you can go well beyond.
You can touch your shoulder blades together, basically.
And then it just provides you with that elasticity. And sometimes a change from pushing weight is what you need for growth.
Very quickly, an email now from Stabilo Boss. What was Daniel like to train when you worked together? Go easy.
he was all right. I mean, I've had worse trainees. He listened, which is something I didn't do when he was trying to help me.
Gillingham T-Bone emailed, spring is coming fashion-wise. What will you be wearing to show off this physique of yours?
Well, if you listen to the show, Daniel's, you'll know that I don't like showing off my physique in the form of tight fitting t-shirts and stuff. But I might wear shirts that with the sleeves rolled up. Skinny jeans is always a good look because I'm slim. I can get away with it. If you're of the bigger side, they end up looking like leggings. So I'd steer clear of skinny jeans if you're off there. If Mickey's listening, don't wear skinny jeans.
Well, he's wearing body warmers usually in the summer, so I wouldn't put skinny jeans beyond him, but slim fit jeans he may certainly try for. We are running out of time. It has been great to have the kid in tonight. He's grinning.
To be here.
It's been a fantastic opportunity for him to tell us about his body. Do support the show. Visit 1607westegg.wordpress.com. Click on the PayPal link if you'd like to support the show. Get in touch on anything. Send us your mantelpiece shots too. Let's see how clean they are. Follow me on Twitter, 1607 West. They're coming up after this, the Gravy, new electronic music with Will Ward and Patrick Saville. Thanks to engineer number one, Chris Dixon, and of course to the kid for coming in. Shoulders back, South London. I am back next Monday. I'm Daniel Ruiz-Tyson, and this week I have been available.